Welcome back, Jack Ebling and Dave Benton, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Our next guests, Tom Watkins and Patrick Wright, have written a very interesting piece, and I think one that certainly deserves consideration and discussion, about teacher pay. I would think everyone agrees that a good teacher is virtually priceless in terms of impact, but there should be some way to reward good teachers and to maybe provide a little prodding for those who are not putting in the full effort, and that would be better for everyone involved in the educational process. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm great, Jack. Always good to be back with you.
And hello, Patrick.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Well, Patrick, tell us a little bit about this research and why you think that merit pay might be a good idea.
Sure. We looked at the statistics regarding merit pay, and what we found is Michigan uses something called the single salary schedule, which is pretty much uniform throughout the country. And it gives you compensation for number of years of experience you've had teaching and the advanced degrees you've got, be they master's, master's plus 30, doctorates, et cetera. And what we found in looking at the data is in analyzing student test results, only the first 5 years of experience mattered, and only master's degrees in math and science mattered. And so we're paying a lot of money into the education system, encouraging teachers to do things that don't lead to higher results. And so we're looking to create a merit pay plan that would encourage teachers to engage in activities that led to better student performance.
Our guests, Tom Watkins and Patrick Wright, and Patrick is a senior legal analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, a free market think tank. And Tom, of course, is one of the leading educational and business consultants in the country. He's been a guest on this show many, many times. Can we agree that quality teachers are in demand and unappreciated in some ways?
Jack, I mean, I think you hit it on nail on the head. Our great teachers are truly priceless. They ought to be on that MasterCard commercial because they truly are priceless. You know, I've said before that that our public schools, traditional and charter, are the true Statue of Liberty of this great country of ours. They take the tired, the hungry, the poor, the huddled masses, children with disability, and give them hope and opportunity. And if you believe, as I do, that is true, then you have to believe that our great educators are truly the torch lighting the way for us all. And so we have to find ways to encourage, support, and reward those great teachers that are touching each and one of our futures every day when they are teaching our kids.
Patrick, I have run this idea by a couple of teachers who I know are outstanding in their field and would likely benefit from merit pay. And they have some issues with this. They say, number one, how would this be administered fairly? How would it be measured just off a standardized test, which doesn't begin to show the true value of education? And also, what would it do to the teacher ranks in general?
Sure. You asked a number of questions there. I'll try and address them in order. The first one is, how would it be administered? It would depend some on the individual teacher's contribution. And we'd measure that by testing the child at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, and then trying to use a formula to indicate how much the teacher has benefited that particular student. And mm-hmm. to prevent dissension in the teacher ranks, which is kind of now skipping to your third question, only a portion of the teacher's award if they're in core subjects, and that's things you can test for like reading, writing, math, science, etc., would be based on that individual teacher's, the growth that they caused. The rest of it would be based on school-wide gains. And so there's a hope that there would be a rewarding of the teacher that is excellent in their own classroom and yet also building of collaboration throughout the entire school building.
How would you measure the performance of a teacher in art, music, drafting, or PE?
It would be very difficult to do so, and therefore they would be in a group that would get the awards that we're talking about in our merit pay plan were $10,000 for people that teach core subjects. And as I just explained, how they would get their awards, the last 20%, by the way, would be from a supervisor evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
People that teach those subjects that you talk about, Jack, right there, would get have an opportunity to get up to 7,000, and those would almost entirely be based on school-wide gains in the other subjects, mm-hmm. and then, again, a little bit based on a supervisor evaluation.
Tom, you were making a point?
Yeah, the one that I would make is that the Mackinac Center and I have not always agreed on public policy issues,
right.
but one of the things that I truly appreciate about them is they're bringing ideas to the public square and having an open, honest dialogue and debate about that issues. I should also point out that the Broad Foundation, where the School of Business up at Michigan State University is named after Eli Broad, he put up the resources for the Mackinac Center to do this study. And the great thing and the brilliance of this idea is that this isn't taking anything away from teachers. This would be an add-on using private money from the foundation field to add on to an existing pay schedule for our great teachers across the state. And that's where it kind of skips through a lot of the politics, which oftentimes enter our schools, and finds ways to bring private money in to enhance a public good. And to that, I think both Eli Broad and the Broad Foundation and the Mackinac Center deserve credit for skipping around those very contentious issues and seeing if we can have a pilot project that truly can make a difference. Test this idea out. And if it makes a difference in the lives of quality education for our children, then perhaps we can take a look at ways to take it to scale.
So, Patrick, you can tell us definitively that this proposal is not designed to slash taxes or nuke teacher unions.
Now, what this is an awareness of what the political realities are, and that the single salary schedule, if we were going to say it had to be abolished and that a new merit pay plan had to be put in its place, that would be a non-starter. And so what this tries to do is, just as Tom is indicating, is say, okay, we believe in this idea. Let's see if we can find a way without having to make Lansing do any work, because we're not sure that they would be capable of breaking the logjam. And so this was what the idea we had was to superimpose a merit pay plan on top of the single salary schedule, and then mm-hmm. take it to a couple of districts and find out if we're right that it does do what we believe it will do, and that is increase student performance.
Tom, as a former state superintendent of public instruction, can you see this being a great motivator for underperforming teachers?
I think that it can. We had just the other day a conversation with educators and labor leaders and school board members and school administrators, and they helped build on some of the ideas that we had here. The other is that this is not a top-down, this isn't the school board or the superintendent say, thou shalt. This is the team coming together, the teachers, the school administrator, the principal, the school board, and collectively agreeing upon, let's go into this, let's give it a try, and framing what that would look like. And so, yes, I think that it is. I mean, we need to continually remember that our collective future is sitting in our classroom today. The quality of our lives, the strength of our economy, the vibrancy of our democracy, and truly, Jack, as we've talked about China, our place in the world depends on the quality of our classroom teachers. And this is a way to engage them as partners, as equals, in helping formulate a program on merit pay that would enhance teaching and learning in the classroom.
Patrick, what reaction do you think you would get with this proposal from administrators, from the teachers' unions, and from parents?
Well, we've had, Tom and I actually had a seminar today in which we had many of those constituencies you just mentioned there, and it was a very positive review. We had a question and answer period for over an hour. We had 50-plus people in attendance from a number of districts, some that actually already have small merit pay plans in operation, and we're looking for further ideas on how to increase and make them better. So I do think that it is something that's quite possible. I'll say it's an idea. You know, Tom and has mentioned before, he doesn't always agree with the Mackinac Center. You know, one of the groups that their national leader, the American Federation of Teachers, in September has indicated that they are willing to consider merit pay plans. So this may be an idea whose time has come and reaches across what are the traditional political combatants, I guess.
You know, Jack, we're living in a extremely fast-paced, disruptive, transformationally, technologically driven global economy where ideas and jobs do, in fact, move across the globe. People can decide to be settlers, or they can decide to be pioneers. And what we saw is, as Patrick just pointed out at the meeting today, is people that are willing to step forward, administrators and teachers and school board members, and be pioneers and test something out and say, does it work? Can it make a difference? And if it does, then let's take it to scale. If not, let's throw it out, because as FDR said during the Great Depression, do something, and if that doesn't work, do something else, but for God's sakes, do something. And there's nothing more important to do than making sure that we reward great teachers and assure all of our children get the education they need and deserve to thrive in this 21st century knowledge economy.
Can we agree that public education to some degree is broken in America?
You know, what I would say is that we've got islands of excellence in education across the state, from the city of Detroit to Lansing to Okemos, Williamson, and all around. And we also have a sea of despair. And until the day arrives that a school, a teacher, is good enough for your child or my child, then that school shouldn't be good enough for any child, whether it's a traditional school, a parochial school, a chartered school. We have to get about making sure that, understand that our school districts are not just competing against the district next door or the state next door. Our children are going to need to compete against the children of the world.
What's the next step, Patrick?
Well, the next step is we're going to try and find a number of districts and unions within those districts that are willing to look at this and then try and match them up with people that are impatient for change. And I mean that in a good way. People that are looking forward to trying to bring about excellence in the schools. I mean, Tom was just mentioning, and I want to agree that out of our 100,000 plus teachers, there are many, many excellent teachers. And what this plan is meant to do is to reward those that are good and to draw in more. What we want in the end run is better quality teaching across the board, because that is the single most important factor for kids getting a good education.
Tom Watkins, former State Superintendent of Public Instruction and Educational Business Consultant, one of our favorite guests, and Patrick Wright, Senior Legal Analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Jack.
We'll be right back. Jack and Dave, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.